Welcome, Prof. It's good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much. Terrific to be with you.
And thank you for wading into the conversation last week. I think that perspective is an important one. And thank you for availing some time to chat about it as well.
Absolutely.
So you're saying this kind of happens often when men are accused of gender-based violence and this is their means of attack?
So it's one of several means of attack, absolutely. And it's really a heartbreaking incongruity in the law. So what we've found is that there's so little formal justice for women who have experienced gender-based violence, and this is not a new issue, right? We've known this for years and years and years. So women are turning to other forums, not for the purposes of revenge, but for the purposes of having community, of being able to say, I was hurt. This is how I was hurt. And sometimes even to say, be careful of this person, right? And so what happens is where those chats become public or if people post publicly, then in response, even if the perpetrator hasn't been named, in response, we found that perpetrators will lay a claim of sometimes defamation, sometimes asking for a protection order, and often for they'll apply to or charge that person with crimen injuria, criminal defamation. And so you have a person who has been violated in possibly the worst ways imaginable, who then seeks only some kind of community and safety. But the next thing, she's charged with a criminal act. Mm. And so to have this law repealed is not only about time and is not only seminal for freedom of speech, but actually will enhance the protection potentially for survivors and victims of gender-based violence.
So it's a malice on the part of those implicated and a means to frustrate the allegation that has been leveled at them. But there's been cases, albeit a minority of cases, where malice has been the other way around as well.
You mean false claims?
False claims, yes.
Yeah. So it's really always interesting to me that the issue of false claims comes up in these debates. False claims are about less than 8%,
yes,
of reported cases worldwide. And when we talk about false claims, we must remember very few of them are circumstances where the complainant turns around and says, actually, I was lying. Most of the time, the complainant will simply retract the allegation. And often that happens just because I see this in my work all the time. Women just want to move on. They just need to move on. They can't keep on reliving this. So the issue of false claims is in direct disproportion, invert proportion, to the actual instances in which it happens. And so it's and certainly in over 20 odd years of doing this type of work, I've never once come across a false claim.
Interesting.
So I think that's also part of the co-opting of a narrative, this abuser becoming the victim and taking on the narrative of, look how this woman, angry, jealous, vengeful, is out to hurt me. Actually, that plays into a lot of the tropes around sexism that continue in society.
I think it's a very important response that you're bringing to this particular conversation, Prof. So let's talk about, you say the women want to get it off their shoulder. They want to move on and they want to protect other women in the process of leveling the allegation. What do they seek from the allegation?
Very, very different things for different women. In the sort of cases I've come across, primarily women seek to find community, right? To find healing. We all know that if you speak to people who have gone through the same thing as you, you find community and healing. Often you can't get that with your family, certainly not with the criminal justice system. But it's also about breaking a silence and not having to carry that burden on your own. And if you think about it, every time we've seen a very, very public outcry against gender-based violence, and you can actually map it, every 3 years we get this response from South Africa around some kind of grisly or gruesome murder, every time that happens, people talk about we need to break the silence. And in a way, it's not the grisly hanging from a tree, burning, dismembering, the day-to-day violation that continues. And that's also the silence that needs to be broken. Women also often speak about the need to just speak their truth to someone who will believe them. And I think another major reason is because a lot of women who, well, I should say people who go through gender-based violence and who experience this feel a misplaced but very real sense of shame. What did I do to deserve this? Yeah. How did I contribute to this happening? And by having open conversations about gender-based violence that are not only theoretical, but are actually real, you can help one another debunk that shame.
It's still, and I think maybe just the context of this conversation, again, important, and if you wish to be part of the conversation via WhatsApp on 072-567-1567, I'll read the WhatsApp in. It's similar to the question that I've asked a little earlier, but I'll read it nonetheless, and if there's another response that is needed, then you're absolutely welcome. Surely it must be beyond an allegation. It must be a charge. But then again, the onus on women to prove that the person charged is guilty.
So 100% correct. Surely there should be a criminal or state response to the harm. However, of all rapes that occur in the country, only according to the research that others and I have done, roughly 50% will be reported. Of those, generously, half will actually be investigated. Of those, roughly 15 to 20% will go to a prosecutor.
Yeah.
Of those, about half will be taken to trial, and less than 8% of that final figure will result in a conviction.
Yeah. So our challenge now is for people to speak out about it and to name and shame.
So I would not use the word shaming, because that's not why women do it. I'm making very general statements, but the perception that women are doing this to hurt their perpetrators, to gain vengeance, that's not actually the nub of it. The nub of it is I need to own my truth and to be able to talk about it. No one else is helping me. Criminal justice system, the police, they're not helping me. And so I need to have the ability to help myself. And this is how I'm going to do it with other people who have been hurt. And that's why removing a criminal defamation is such a powerful step in that regard.
Professor Bonita Meyersfeldt, Associate Professor at the Wits School of Law. It doesn't reside within the realm of criminal law, so you can't go and lay a charge of defamation any longer. And one of the benefits of repealing it, we are talking about the relationship between this defamation charge and GBV. That message in, Prof, reads as follows. I worked in a case once where a woman admitted to the police that she had made a false claim of rape against a man because he rejected her further advances after having an affair with him. I think this is the worst behavior because it casts doubt on the real claims from women who have genuinely been affected by GBV. Is there an additional response that you wish to muster?
Oh, I think that the message is absolutely correct.
Yes.
And like I say, it's not that it never happens. It certainly does. But those cases actually get far more airtime than the real violence. So she's right. They are right, whomever it is, has made that comment. And I do think it really damages our fight to secure justice.
Yeah, but you're saying also that naming is enough. You don't need to shame.
Absolutely. The shame is already on the part of the perpetrator.
Exactly.
Anybody who rapes, anybody who beats,
anybody
who kills, they are the bearers of the shame. And yet society almost places the shame on women So it's not that women will stand up and say, X raped me, or I was raped in this context, and therefore I hope to shame that person. It's that person's behavior that is shameful. And so if they feel that they're being shamed by being identified for rape, for gender-based violence, for murder, then we belong in a society which is still dominated by our concern for how men will feel.
Sure.
And if men feel shamed by being publicly outed for raping, that's correct. They should feel shamed because they are shameful.
I hope so.
But it's not the publication by woman that should be seen as an attempt to shame.
Sure. So women need to speak out, need to bring this pandemic, shine a light on it, bring it into the public domain. And men have a role to play as well. What is the role of men?
Such a great question. So, you know, in the LGBT community, there's the language of an ally, right? People who are cisgender, you know, heterosexual, to be an ally essentially means, firstly, in the context of gender-based violence, to call out the people who look and act like you, right? So in every context, you're out for drinks with a bunch of male heterosexual friends and they start telling sexist jokes. Call them out. Say it. This is not okay, dude. You know, brother, this is not... you're part of this problem. Sure, there's a spectrum between telling a joke about abusing women or raping women and actually doing it, but it's still on the same spectrum. So call out your friends, call out your colleagues, particularly when you have younger boys and men involved in the conversation. So I once overheard two young men with two teenage boys. And one of the younger men said, what do you call a woman with one black eye? A good start. What do you call a woman with two black eyes? A really good start. And the boys were laughing. And yeah. I went over to them and said, think about your participation and what these boys think is acceptable. So be an ally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the best form of defense is attack, and that little tool at the disposal of perpetrators is no longer there. And that's going to help,
correct,
right, Prof?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's the message that the Prof brings very clearly today, and I hope you're going to understand that. And it's appreciated, Prof Benita Meyersveld, Associate Professor, Wits School of Law, bringing the time now to nearly 2 minutes to 10 o'clock. This